Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. In a recent Netflix documentary, Murder Among the Mormons, Mark Hoffman says on a tape in prison that that third bomb was a suicide attempt. Police, however, believe it was an accident. Which one is correct? Brent Ashworth will weigh in on that issue. You won't want to miss this episode. Check it out. By the way, I'm giving away a free copy of Brent's book, Show and Tell. It's got pictures of his collection as well as other stories. You can see on the back cover, here's Muhammad Ali's signed glove, as well as a poster with John Wayne. So you can see how extensive Brent's collection is. It's not just Mormon history. So to get a free copy, sign up at thegospeltangents.com/Ashworth, and I'll enter you in a drawing to win a free copy of this book. So you won't want to miss it. Check it out. Now back to our conversation.
There's a whole bunch of stuff on there on why the third bomb was not a suicide bomb. It's really quite reasoned
That's
out.
That's exactly where I wanted to go next.
Yeah, there's really quite it's good reasoning from the police, but I could answer that too in a lot of ways. The fundamental thing about it is that, and I said this briefly on our email to each other.
Yeah, let me just set that up a little bit. Because Shannon Flynn, when I interviewed him, he said that he thought that it was a suicide attempt. And we did hear a prison recording where Mark said it was a suicide attempt. Mm-hmm. But George Throckmorton and the ATF basically knew, when that bomb went off, they knew immediately, number one, that Mark was the bomber. And number two, they said it was an accident. Mm-hmm. So help us resolve that conflict.
Well, the thought is that Hoffman was going to, he was carrying that bomb into Crossroads Mall. And he was thinking he was going to meet with me coming down the elevator, you know, before I got to the the bookstore, to Walden Bookstore. At least that's the thought. And that thought is carried in the Salamander when it first came out.
The book.
Yeah, the book. The part that I told you about, Mark saying later in prison that the third bomb was meant for a Mormon who owed him $30,000. And I've explained that story to you. That was in the second edition of Salamander. So you won't find it in the first. You'll find it in the paperback.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Because she got that story later and added it to Salamander. But the two versions are a little different because she had more information.
And you were the guy that said he...
Right. I think I explained how I didn't come up with that or give him my George Washington letter, especially after talking to my dad. And he says, well, you know what you got with the Washington letter. You don't know what you got with this thing. And that was after Hugh Nibley had just about authenticated the piece.
So, so you were supposed to meet with Mark on Wednesday, the 16th. There's a package that has at least the name Brent, which could be Brent.
That's what I'm thinking, because I was told that by somebody.
So you didn't show up. Now, normally, you would go down the elevator together.
No, I'd go down the elevator from the attorneys who were on the 16th, 17th floor. It was Vancott Bagley. Cornwall and McCarthy at the time, and they were our outside firm, and
Nature Sunshine, where you worked.
Yeah, my friend Brent Christensen, who wrote me yesterday and said kudos for the Netflix, he just watched it. He lives in California now. He's one of the ones that warned me when the bombs went off and they announced it was Hoffman, and Steve Woodland up there did, and Rich Hill, who's an attorney here. Every time he's seen Rich says, well, see, I saved your life. I called you. And I says, Rich, I appreciate it, but it wasn't until Jay Todd called me from the church, told us to get our family out of town, that we left. But I was trying to answer your question. I've forgotten what it is.
Yeah, so we're trying to decide why Hoffman claimed it was a suicide. Police are saying it was an accident. And so where do you fit on there?
Well, at first, I wouldn't have known, but George Throckmorton and I became good friends, and he's shared with me a lot of things on it. And like I said, that BYU conference we did, I said exactly what's on the Netflix thing, you know. I don't know if the bomb was meant for me, but I haven't been able to eliminate myself. And George got up right after me and says, oh, yeah, the bomb was meant for you. He said we had the evidence on him. And part of it was that time-dated receipt I told you that they had, which put him right at our spot. Time dating was just coming in. And put him there less than 8 minutes. He had to walk from the mall to get himself blown up in his car. So it was just immediate. But then the other thing from the prison I told you about, how Silito out of that salamander about the Mormon that owed him $30,000, right? Well, what George said is that he carried the bomb, and I've since found a couple of eyewitnesses that saw Mark carrying something to the car before it blew up. You know, one of them is a brother to a guy that's in our ward, Jim Rosenthal, who came down and actually mapped it out and showed where his car was parked, and he saw Hoffman, to identify him later, walking past him holding something, coming back from somewhere. Well, that makes perfect sense, because Silito thought in her book that they were going to hand me a bomb coming out of the elevator, you know, like this. I don't know how he's going to do it. I've always thought that maybe he'd invite me to his car and we get, you know, because we spent a lot of time in that little MR2, you know, doing deals. And I would drive him up to his car, because mine was parked in the mall. But the main thing was, is George came out with a piece of evidence that ATF can tell you exactly where a bomb goes off, okay? And Jerry Taylor was flown in. He had done the Branch Davidian thing the year before.
Oh.
The top ATF officer for telling you about bombs, and it's a science. They can tell you exactly where a bomb goes off. You remember the Branch Davidians and all that?
Yeah, Waco.
This is 85, and ATF really blew it down there, but at least they knew, you know, the science. The part I do remember exactly is that Jerry Taylor was in San Francisco that day, and when he found out about it, he was charged to the ATF, get your, you know, self to Utah and find out about this bomb that went. Because these were the first two bombing deaths in Utah. You know, we didn't have any previous to this, so it was like Beirut.
We haven't had any since, have we?
What's that?
I don't think we've had any since either.
Well, there was a guy the other day that set off something. There's been a bunch of them since, but there's been smaller ones. And I don't know about deaths, if there have been deaths by bombing. There may have been. But at any rate, the point was is that they sent Jerry Taylor in, and Mark was still in the hospital, you know, coming out of his coma or whatever, after he blew his kneecap and a couple of fingers off. And Jerry said, I want to be the first to, you know, to ask him questions. So they did. They brought him up. And when Mark came to, he just asked him what happened. Mark said, well, I got to my car, and it was a little MR2. We'd sat in there several times doing deals, as I told you before. And he opens the door, and he says, this package fell off the dashboard and onto the seat and blew me into the street. Well, that's not what the eyewitnesses said either. The eyewitnesses said that they saw this man get partway into the... He was sitting on the seat with his right hip. Both feet were still on the pavement. This is what the eyewitnesses said. He was leaning into the car when the thing blew up.
To put it in the back seat or something?
Yeah. Now, if he was... And in the process, George said that he hit the gear shift with the which set the mercury switch off.
Because
the mercury switch activated.
All he had to do was tip the package.
All he had to do was tip it, and he hit the gear shift, was right in his way, moving the thing to the back. I mean, it's very little room to work in. And he hit the gear shift, and that set the bomb off. So he's blown into the street. If he'd had the door shut, if he was trying to commit suicide, he would have been killed. But he wasn't trying to commit suicide. In fact, the eyewitnesses said he was trying to get couldn't figure out what he was leaning into the car with, you know. He's trying to stay as far away from it as he could. But he hit the gear shift.
I would think he'd put it in the trunk, but I know there were important documents in the trunk.
Well, it was mostly just junk he put in there to make look like a McClellan collection. You know what? They showed me a lot of that stuff, and most of it was Civil War documents of General McClellan. I mean, he's a pretty smart guy, but General McClellan didn't spell his name the same way as William McClellan.
Because he ran against Lincoln in the...
Yeah.
Well, he was Lincoln's general.
He was Lincoln's general.
Mm-hmm. And then Lincoln
then
fired
ran
him.
Against him in 64. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He didn't spell his name the same way, though. He spelled McClellan.
So essentially, he was trying to take General McClellan and turn it into William McClellan.
Yeah, and other things, but that was in the car. I'm sure he's got a point to it.
Wouldn't General McClellan be more important financially to the nation than...
McClellan's never been that valuable because he was thought of as kind of a dunce. You know?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I can go out and buy a McClellan letter for a few $100 now. You know, they were probably 20 to 50 back then. So it was a cheap way for Hoffman to fill in the gaps if he hadn't already done the, you know, the damage, which he hadn't. He couldn't get around to doing that much. He promised too much. You know, and let's face it, people were finally buying stuff sight unseen. Russ paid him $185,000. He hadn't seen it. It was going off his word. Hugh Pinnock hadn't seen it, but President Hinckley arranged that loan for him to, you know. So Hoffman got $370,000 for not even doing a, putting a pen to ink.
So this doesn't make sense to me, but yeah. And maybe it's not supposed to make sense. But so he sold the McClelland collection to the church and to Al Rust.
He tried to sell it to me, too.
And to you.
Yeah.
But you hadn't paid him any money.
No, I hadn't paid him any money. Those guys have paid money.
And I'm still trying to understand why he's trying to buy. So he's selling the McClelland collection to two people, the church and Al Rust.
Because this big Ponzi was coming down.
And then he's got the oath of a freeman to the Library of Congress. And then he's trying to buy back from you stuff that he's already sold you.
Because he knows he can resell it for one thing, or he can just bury it, one or the other.
He was concerned you were being too public with it.
I was the only one that was doing dog and pony shows all over town. The church wasn't. Nobody else that had their stuff.
And so he wanted to take it back from you and then sell it to somebody who was going to keep it private.
Maybe so. Maybe he wanted to, you know, to get him to the church. One time he told me, he said, for that Lucy Mack letter, he said, I know the reorganized church would trade you that original characters, you know, statement.
Yeah.
He says, I know we could get the original of that because it doesn't mean anything after the Anthon. You see what I'm saying? So I know we could get that out of the reorganized church.
Yeah, because there's a characters document which is... Originally, people thought was the Anthon document,
right. Uh-huh.
But there were some characteristics that it didn't quite match with the historical records.
But everybody thought it was the oldest. You know, it's the first thing that Joseph Smith had given to Harris, you know, to go show to Anthon. Okay. And it's the original, as far as we know. It's been published in Essentials in Church History by Joseph Fielding Smith and every other history going back all the way to...
Because I talked to Casey, or Dr. Casey Griffiths, and he said...
Yeah, it's a good friend.
It is a legitimate document, but it's not... It's not the one that...
No, we don't think it's the one, but it's the oldest one we have.
Right.
And the earliest one we have. And for that, it's a priceless, you know, document. And Hoffman, I remember him saying, I can get you that, or I can get you a Mormon gold set. The church has an extra set of the Mormon gold coins. They had two sets.
Hmm.
Well, you know, the Larry Miller $10 was just sold for $900,000 last month. So that would be a valuable set. Yeah, the whole set. I mean, that's the most expensive one in there. But back then, it wouldn't have been that much, but it'd probably be, for a whole set, it'd probably be $250,000, you know, back then. So Hoffman really wanted to get Lucy Mack, particularly, because I was doing, my big emphasis was on her letter. And see, this is another thing.
Let me ask you a question there. Because let's say, okay, and this is a horrible thing to think, but... if he had given you that bomb,
yeah,
what would that have accomplished in
just buying more time?
Just buying more.
Yeah, he knows from the Dallin Oaks interview the day before after Steve's been killed, the church isn't giving up. You know, you turn over that collection. We're that's why Steve was heading over your way to get that McClellan collection. They wanted that collection. You know, President Hinckley wanted that collection.
And so he wrote you a bad check knowing that he was going to kill you the next 2 days later?
Well, I don't know, but you know, the one time that he talked about it, and I don't know if I gave you a copy of that on your papers over here. I think I did. That little stack of papers right there. Yeah. It's the only time Hoffman ever talked publicly. You've heard of the Hoffman interviews and all that, but they did.
In jail?
Uh-huh.
Oh, you've got a copy of that?
Oh, yeah. They're two big volumes. I've got a lens set, too, at home somewhere. But he gave me. But this is the important part on the murders. It's the only time he talked about the murders, and I'll give you this, okay?
Oh, so really? Good.
I've got an extra here. But this is Mark Hoffman interviews, and this was the supplement that they did. It's a 14-page supplement. Okay. And people usually, you know, read the big things about how he was so proud of his work product. You know, so he goes into all of the forgery things he did, but he won't talk about the murders. And he agreed to do that, you know, on the deal.
It's part of his plea deal.
It's part of his deal. But then he didn't.
Right.
And when they finally got him, and they couldn't force him. But at any rate, the night before he gave his plea as guilty, changed his plea to guilty, the prosecutors met at Ron Yankich's home or office, whichever it was, with Hoffman. And they could ask him any questions they want. And they couldn't they couldn't tape him, but they could take as many notes as they wanted.
Why couldn't they tape him?
Well, Yingich wouldn't allow it, okay? Because there might be other crimes and so on, and he didn't want it, you know, he didn't want it to come out. There were other crimes. There were lots of crimes. So this is the part that everybody needs to read, because there's only one paragraph in here that talks about the bombings. And this is it. I'll read you. These are the what Mark gave the following background information, talks about his youth and all that. And then page 3, Mark Hoffman then related the following information about the bombings of October 15th and 16th, 1985. He knew he was going to make two bombs to kill two people. These are the notes they took at the night before he, okay, when he's changing.
So this is Kathy Sheets and Christensen. Uh-huh.
But this is before. He said he knew he was going to make two bombs to kill two people, but at first he wasn't sure who the victims would be. He thought of several scenarios for the bombings. First, he thought that one of the bombs would kill either Thomas Wilding. Do you know him?
No.
He was the insurance agent. He's totally disappeared. But he was the insurance agent for Hoffman's home. He had his Hoffman's deed as collateral for all of his investors under him. He had about $300,000. When they showed the New York dealer, what's his name, Wapner,
yeah.
When they showed him, that's where the Wapner thing was being paid for by Thomas Wilding's group. Okay?
Okay.
That was that oath of a free man thing, you know? Okay. And actually, Hoffman returned to them the original Charles Dickens Haunted Man manuscript, which he got from Wapner. It was the original. It wasn't a fake. And that's one of the Christmas books that Dickens did after The Christmas Carol. He did one book every year for the next 4 years, and one of them was The Haunted Man. And they got the original manuscript out of Wapner, who was one of the leading book dealers in the country. Anyway, it was a three-way deal for the oath of a free man. And Wilding was the insurance agent for Hoffman, who had the deed to Hoffman's home as collateral. Okay? So that's where he comes into this. I only met him once, and that was in the witness before we had to go testify, you know, in the witness stall. So I don't know him at all. He's disappeared. At any rate, first he thought that one of the bombs would kill either Thomas Wilding or Brent Ashworth, and the second bomb would kill himself. Then he thought that possibly the bomb should be for Steve Christensen and Thomas Wilding. And finally, he thought about killing Thomas Wilding and Brent Ashworth with the two bombs. Hoffman stated that it wasn't until the morning of the 15th of October, when he made the bombs, that he settled on the actual targets. Okay? So I'll mark that, but that's the only time Hoffman ever really talked about the bombing, other than that one tape that they did at his parole.
It doesn't say Gary Sheets on there?
No. No, that was a diversion. He could have picked any one of us to put that.
So can we believe anything that he actually said?
I don't know, but this is the day before he's changing his plea, so that's the only thing we've got where he talks about it, okay? If you wanted, I'm not saying that's evidence other than just, he obviously had me in mind a couple of times, you know. It's nice to be on people's minds. Yeah, at any rate.
It's amazing to me that you can laugh about
it. Well, you have to laugh about it now. I mean, it was a horrible time for us. The worst part of it I haven't talked about, and I don't want to, and that's our sons. But it's in the book I'll give you that Tracy wrote. You might recognize that from the Netflix. They did use that.
Oh, yes. That's his passport.
In fact, all the documents they used on there were ours. If you just wanted to talk, there's Mark's Christmas card to me.
You're kidding.
That's family.
Yeah, I'm going to show that thing.
But, you know, they could only use so much. I thought they did a pretty good job. Yeah.
That's crazy.
They definitely got their Napoleon Dynamite with Shannon. I thought that was funny. I'd never seen him like that, so that was hilarious. That's hilarious.
So, okay, I want to just wrap up.
Does that all make sense? I mean, it's very involved, but it's, you know.
Yeah, it does. But as far as going back to the bomb, so you're saying that the ATF report, I guess it was the ATF report.
So well, what happened, Hoffman comes to, right. Okay? So Jerry asks him what happened, and he mentions this, that the bomb fell off the thing under the seat and blew it up. The only problem was ATF can tell you precisely where a bomb goes off from the damage. Mm-hmm. And the bomb, the big center crater, was just by the gear shift, you know. blew all that up. So we know he hit the gear shift. And the only place on that car that's not ruined is the frame underneath his door. It's perfectly straight still on all the photos.
Okay.
So he's lying like a Sith.
Off,
oh, yeah.
That would have been damaged.
That would have been first thing damaged, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know George also told me that with a pipe bomb, they put two caps on, and then it blows out the ends, and one of those caps hit him in the knee.
Yeah.
And that's what messed up his knee.
That messed up his knee. Of course, his two fingers got screwed up by, you know, right, holding it. And when he killed Steve, of course, he wrapped it with concrete nails, so he made sure he killed him. Ken Farnsworth, Ken Farnsworth was the guy that got his widow, because he died of cancer in 2006. He was the one that was assigned to me, and when he got with me years later, he showed me the photographs. I couldn't believe them. You know, I'd seen a lot, been a prosecutor. I've been out on a lot of murders, never a bombing, though. I mean, the mine were all the guys shooting each other and stuff like that. And Steve was just kind of a blob over in the corner, you know. I know they couldn't show him. His whole upper body was ripped up, you know, it was ripped off, his head and everything. But with Kathy Sheets, and I don't mean to be gross, I won't, she picked up that bomb and she's staring like this with her insides hanging out.
Like what just happened?
Probably. Yeah, she's staring out, up like this, and I couldn't get her look out of my mind for months, you know, after he showed me that. It's just so, I mean, that bomb didn't need to go off at all. I mean, they talk about the cold-heartedness of this guy. The paper boy could have picked it up. One of their kids could have picked it up. Gary'd already gone to work, so he wasn't going to pick it up. His wife had been out on a walk with her friends, came back and saw it and picked it up. And they had a scarecrow standing out front because it was Halloween time. And a lot of people just thought when she was laying there that the scarecrow had blown down until somebody figured out it wasn't a scarecrow, you know?
It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty horrible.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Brent Ashworth. In our next conversation, we'll talk about what Mark Hoffman's family thought about post-manifesto polygamy and why it was probably a motive for him to attack the LDS Church.
But I'm just saying, I'm telling you that because the family has been really fighting with us for a couple of generations, you know? And to me, that seems the most logical thing of payback time that Mark found, you know? Yeah, I'll pay him back. I just see that because he's got no qualms. He's got no testimony. He doesn't care, you know, who he hurts.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, sign up at patreon.com/gospeltangents, and for $5 a month, you can hear the entire interview without any interruptions. If you'd like to see the whole video, that's just $8 a month, and you can sign up either at youtube.com/gospeltangents or on our website at gospeltangents.com and click the yellow subscribe button, or you can go to patreon.com/gospeltangents, and I'll just need to make sure that we're Facebook friends, and I'll add you to our insiders group, and you can see the entire interview uncut. If you'd like to get PDF transcripts of our interviews, those are just $10 a month. And for just $15 a month, I will send you paperback versions of our transcripts as soon as they come out. Or, of course, you can buy them on Amazon as well. Go to Amazon.com and do a search for Gospel Tangents Interview, and you can see all of our transcripts there. Don't forget to sign up for our updates at facebook.com/gospeltangents. Of course, you can follow us at Gospel Tangents on Twitter. To hear our interviews updated to your podcast player, go to tinyurl.com/gospeltangents and make sure you give us a 5-star review. And of course, you should show your support for Gospel Tangents with one of these cool t-shirts like this green one, or light blue, sport gray, royal blue, purple, of course black, beautiful gold, and of course Utah red. I've probably left out some colors, but if you want to see more, go to gospeltangents.com/shop and you can get one of these. So once again, thanks for listening. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some more of our great videos. Thanks again.